Sure, it's ridiculously early in the presidential campaign cycle, but the race is getting plenty of attention, and there's no bigger story than the seemingly unstoppable rise of real estate mogul and reality TV star Donald Trump. When something in American politics or culture just doesn't seem to make any sense, the one man I know I can turn to for an explanation is best-selling author and professor of cognitive linguistics, Professor George Lakoff, known as the father of framing. And so I'm very happy to be able to welcome him back to State of Belief Radio. George, we need you. Thanks for being with us.
Well, it's a pleasure, as always.
I think a lot of us would be prone to dismissing the Trump phenomenon as a sideshow during the silly season at best, or an indictment of our media and some voters at worst. You have a different take?
I sure do. Let's start with what conservatism and progressive thought are about. The best way to understand this is in terms of family structure. That is, if you're a progressive and you're raising a family, you have, let's say, two parents, and they are of equal authority. Their job is to empathize with their kids, to know what all those dreams and problems mean, to talk with them openly so they know what's going on with their children, and to take care of them and to take care of themselves so they can take care of their children, and to raise their children in the same way, to empathize with other people, to put themselves in other people's shoes, to take care of themselves as well as other people and to think about them and to function socially well in their lives and to be fulfilled in their lives. You want your children to be fulfilled in their lives just as you want to be fulfilled in yours. That's what it means to be a progressive parent. Now, if you're a strict father parent, and it's usually a father, though it could be a mother, a strict father has authority, period. And in a strict father family, the authority cannot be questioned. That's a very big deal. That is, the strict father's spouse and children have to listen to what he says. The assumption is he knows right from wrong. He knows the right thing to do, and what he says is what's right. And that if children, or possibly a spouse, disagrees with them, the children, they get punished. And the punishment is often physical punishment. That's one way to engage in punishment, so that the children want to avoid being punished physically, disciplined in that way, and so will do what the father says, and that's the way to have the children become disciplined. And if they become disciplined, they can go out into the world and earn a living. And what happens if they're poor and not earning a living? That means they're not disciplined and they're therefore can't be moral. They can't do the right thing. And going along with that view is a view of what I call the moral hierarchy. That is, the assumption is that the people who should rule, who are in charge, are the people who are more moral. How do you tell? Well, in a well-run world, run by God, from that point of view, you say, okay, look at what's happened over history. You have a moral hierarchy, God above man, man above nature. We are conquering nature, conquering animals, etc., conquering the world. Two, adults above children, certainly, and then Western culture above other cultures, you know, our country above other countries, and then things like men above women, whites above non-whites, Christians above non-Christians, and straights above gays. Okay? So you have a kind of moral hierarchy that is set in place. And the first part of the hierarchy, before you get down to men above women, et cetera, is very common conservative thought. You know, not all conservatives believe it's men above women or straights above gays, but it's a very common thing that you find, that when you find these kinds of views, they often go along with certain conservative views, especially in public policy. Now, when you understand that, think about what an abusive strict father does. An abusive strict father simply says, I'm in charge, period, out there. No question about it. You're doing what I'm saying or else. That's Donald Trump.
Yeah, you're right.
No apologies.
Is he smart enough to be aware of what he's doing and why that's working? I always thought he was just shooting from the hip.
Well, he has a natural understanding of it. Good political leaders don't have an intellectual understanding of it. They are natural, quote-unquote, leaders. And notice that a lot of people who are following Trump are not wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
They are poor conservatives who are strict fathers at home.
Yeah.
Who want to have authority, at least in their home or their community or, you know, wherever they are in whatever part of life. And they want to be able to assert it clearly. I have this authority, whether it's a gun owner mm-hmm. or a business owner or whatever. And that's Donald Trump. He's right out there. I have this authority. I can fire you. You're fired. You don't do what I like and make me richer. You're fired, period. The problem with this is that the people in the media do not understand him at all.
Explain to our listeners and to me how even the very narrowest of evangelicals can hear some of the, at least not anti-religious, but certainly not very religious comments that Trump has made, and they tend to be very strict in protecting morals, and yet they are stepping forward to support Trump. How has that happened?
Very straightforward. What counts as morality in both cases? Let's start with progressive religion. You see that with the Pope coming out, not just about climate change, but changing the idea of Catholicism. You know, if you actually read what Pope Francis says in his encyclical, he says we have to change our understanding of the Trinity. God is the source of all life. Jesus is the recipient of all life. And the Holy Spirit is the love that connects them and makes life possible. That's a progressive view of religion. It's not the traditional view, and there's nothing in there about individual salvation.
Mm-hmm.
This is about human salvation. Now, when you take progressive religion, where you say God is a nurturing parent, that straight on, if you, a good example of that is Obama's speech in Charleston and the idea of the Methodist AME church members, you know, who were forgiving and who say, look, we're here to help people. We're here to empathize with people. If you say, what is grace?
Mm-hmm.
Grace is God's nurturance. God's taking care of you. You have to be close to God to get grace. You can't earn grace. It has to be given to you. It's a gift that heals you, that makes you whole, that makes you strong, and that makes you a good person. Yeah. That is nurturance.
Mm-hmm.
It's God's nurturance. That's what grace is about. And what Obama was doing was saying that evangelical Christianity has two parts. The black church in Charleston was evangelical in a certain sense in terms of a community and singing and things like that. But in terms of the way they viewed God, it was God as a nurturer.
Mm. Yeah.
Now, the right-wing evangelicals view God as a strict father. Here's my laws. You put them down. You follow them. You get into heaven. You don't. You go to hell. Punishment.
Hmm.
Eternal.
Yeah.
But Donald Trump. You know. I mean, it's just, you know, God is strict father. Donald Trump is strict father.
Hmm. My guest is Professor George Lakoff, best-selling author and a leading theoretician in cognitive linguistics. Okay, I want to turn to the Democrats because they've got a lot of stuff going on there as well that we need you to help us understand.
Let's start with Bernie Sanders.
Okay.
Bernie, from the point of view of progressives, he's like a one-trick pony. It's all about income inequality, period.
Uh-huh.
And he's very good on that. He says, yes, you know, there is income inequality. It's unfair. It's not right. We need to change the following things. Everybody should be able to go to college. There should be a higher minimum wage. People should be paid for the work they do. Men and women should get wage equality, et cetera. And he's talking always about economics and particular individual policies, one by one, with no idea how to pay for any of them and no idea what connects them and no idea really about environmentalism, about foreign policy, about global economy, about anything at all beyond that. But there is something else. He is honest. He's straightforward. It's very clear who he is. He says what he believes, and that's important. He's not trying to be, quote-unquote, political in the sense of pulling the wool over people's eyes, etc. And that gets a certain amount of progressive support because those are part of progressive values. However, the real part of progressive values, namely the totality of it, isn't there with Bernie. Mm-hmm. Now, Hillary has done some things right and some things not right. What she's done right is to base her campaign around caring. Her campaign announcement was videos of people caring about each other. Happy families where parents were taking care of children, where people were taking care of the aged, was one after another about the kind of individual view of care that is necessary to understand progressive thought. Mm-hmm. The second announcement was this. She goes to Iowa and she sets up meetings in cafes, but with people who are doing caring things, who have issues about caring. And then she listens to them and they tell their stories about caring, about progressive thought. Mm-hmm. And she says, yes, and not only that, we can put it into legislation this way, and we can put it into legislation that way, and we can do it through government in this way, right?
Right.
Very clever, very smart. And then Donald Trump comes and takes over the media, for all the conservative values right out there.
Hmm. Tell our listeners what Reframe America is all about, who it's for, what changes you want to see come from that.
It has to do with you want people to be able to be trained on how to think and talk in terms of progressive issues that people don't think and talk about normally. Mm-hmm. For example, suppose you think about work from the point of view of working people. Then someone who is working is a profit creator. The other guys say, well, they're great job creators, but mainly they only hire people if they create profit for them. If you're a profit creator, you deserve parts of the profit. What is a pension? A pension is delayed payment for work already done. If they cut your pensions, they're stealing your money. Mm-hmm. If they cut your benefits, they're cutting your salary. This is a very important thing to say. There's another very important thing to say, which is democracy in America has always been based on the idea that citizens care about other citizens, work through the government to provide public resources for everybody, like roads, airports, the internet, the satellite system that supports all GPSs and so mm-hmm. on. All the things that government does, public education, public health, you can't run a business if you don't have roads, if you don't have a computer, if you don't have educated people, if you don't have health, if you don't have sewers, you can't run a business. Mm. You can't have a decent private life. So the idea is the private depends on the public. It's not being said. Our job is to say, okay, let's say these things out loud and get an idea of what progressive thought is like from the point of view of what we've talked about, nurturance and caring, to get a form of discourse out there and to train people in it. One area of training is via the Internet. Mm-hmm. Another area of training is through institutions. So one thing we can do is offer trainings for an institution that has communication specialists and trainers themselves to help train the communication specialists to say things in communications that support each other. Mm-hmm. Now, the important part of this is what we call intermediate structures between the nurturant moral system and any individual issue. There are hundreds of individual issues, form classes of issues, like thinking of work from the point of view of working people, or the private depends on the public. And when you talk in terms of ultimate moral values, nurturant values, and intermediate values, like the private depends on the public and so on, what you're doing with your individual issue is you're supporting all the other progressive issues.
Hmm. Yeah.
And the idea is to get a way in which talking about these things supports the issues as a whole. The conservatives already do this when they say government is the problem. It goes through all of the issues. What the conservatives want to do is get rid of public resources.
Yeah. I know our listeners will be interested in this new initiative. How can they stay in touch with that, find out more information about Reframe America?
Very simple. Just go to ReframeAmerica, all one word, .com, and it's all there. The information is right there, ReframeAmerica.com. And there's a book. I've rewritten Don't Think of an Elephant. So there's a book called The All New Don't Think of an Elephant. Retail, $12. You know, it's short. It's easy to read. You can put it in your pocket. It's out there, and, you know, if you have an organization, you can get big discounts on the books. We're trying to sell them cheaply and get them in people's hands easily.
George Lakoff is professor of cognitive linguistics at the University of California, Berkeley. George, I really hope we can come back to you as the campaign progresses, because there is absolutely nobody else analyzing this stuff the way you do. And we always benefit from hearing from you. So thanks for being with us today on State of Belief Radio.